In The Dogs of Avalon, the race to save animals in peril, Laura Chanone, the James Beard Award-winning author of A Thousand Years Over a Hot Stove, tells the tale of greyhounds, the fastest dogs on Earth, and an international network of women who fought to save them. Again, the name of the book is The Dogs of Avalon, the race to save animals in peril, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Laura Chanone to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
What brought you to this group of women and the work that they do?
Right. Well, I think I should start at the beginning and say that I was not really a born animal lover. I had dogs when I was a kid, and I loved them, but otherwise I really wasn't that kind of person. But my son was that kind of person. He was a born animal lover. And when he was a kid, he really wanted a dog. And he started asking and asking like kids do. And I just didn't want the bother. So around the same time, I met a woman in my town in New Jersey who was bringing greyhounds over from Ireland in need of homes. And when she told me about it, it sounded completely weird to me. I didn't understand it, and I had no interest. So when she'd send around emails of these greyhounds that needed homes that would be coming over soon, I ignored them. But then one day, this story came in to my Gmail about a particular dog named Lily. And there were pictures about how she'd been found on the side of the road in Ireland, an absolute bloody mess, and then her slow recovery until she became the most beautiful dog I'd ever seen. So I said yes, because I was a sucker for this good salvation story. But Lily, because of that story, I was just curious. And when I had a chance to meet a woman named Marion Fitzgibbon, who was over from Ireland visiting with her son, I knew that she was involved in this rescue of my dog. So I asked to meet her. Actually, I was offered to meet her, and I said, sure. When I met her, she struck me as an astonishing kind of person. She was the head of the ISPCA, and she'd spent a life rescuing dogs. And I was just so struck by the seriousness of her. I probably expected like a warm, lovey-dovey, cat lady, you know, animal person, but she was really more like a diplomat. And when she spoke about animals, she was so compelling. And she said to me that she believed every animal has a right to live and die with dignity. And I found that to be such a stunning statement. It rattled me. I really was thinking about it, and I think I wrote the book and pursued the story basically to find out if that was true.
I think most people probably know the plight of the greyhound, but tell us a little bit about the history of this particular breed and where it is right now. Obviously, dog racing is a big part of the story. Where are we at this point?
Worldwide, it still goes on in many countries, including ours. We have really seen a lot of success on the part of advocates in this country for both ending greyhound racing, and we've seen a tremendous adoption movement to bring them homes, get them into homes, and be accepted as the loving pets they are. They were often misunderstood. But, you know, you asked me about the history of the dog, and it is very unique. They're a very old breed. Most breeds of dogs that we have now were invented in the 19th century. There's only a few basic breeds that are very old. And the greyhound, or the forerunner, a kind of sighthound, was one of them. And we know that they came with the Celts when they migrated across Europe. And when people saw these dogs that the Celts were bringing, they were remarkable because they hunted based on sight and chase rather than nose or other means, and the speed of the dogs astonished people. So they were basically used for hunting for fun, you know, hares and such, and other kinds of animals. And they were basically, that's what they were. The royalty in all over Europe loved them because they were such a noble looking breed. And then the sport of having dogs chase rabbits or hares, which was known as coursing, really continued into the early 20th century. It still goes on in places, but a guy named Patrick Owen Smith invented the mechanical lure here in the United States. So we really started it here, where he thought it would be humane because it would spare the hare. And it turned out that it became a business that really used probably a million dogs bred to race and cast off and discarded when their lives, you know, their useful lives were done.
It seems that this is a good point to point out that this book, yes, has to do with greyhounds, but really is about how we as humans treat all animals.
I am so glad that you said that, because that is what really is a big part of it. And, you know, the reason why I was so taken by Marion Fitzgibbon, who was responsible ultimately for Lily in Ireland, was that her concern was also for people. And my concern as grows in the book as it goes on, as I get to know her, and I have growing awareness of all that animals have done for us, how much our entire human civilization has been built by them, and our economy depends on them. And my slow awakening, you know, becomes a part of this book. My son, who was a born animal lover, once went with me to, we wound up getting pulled into a marine park in Florida where he saw dolphins, these magnificent dolphins swimming in a tank. And he refused to go in, and he just screamed and cried and said, "Those dolphins are in prison and I'm not going in there." And I didn't get that. I didn't understand it. I sort of did, but it was kind of an inconvenience, and I really was not aware. But as time goes on, by the end of the book, I'm very aware.
In your writing about Marion and the women of Limerick animal welfare, these are very, very brave women.
I thought so. They did some really crazy things, and in many ways, they were ahead of their time. I mean, first of all, Ireland, I thought, was such an interesting place for the story. You know, a lot of it is there, not all, but much of it, because it is the home of the greyhound. And one of the reasons why it's the home of the greyhound is because it's such an agricultural country, you know, until quite recently. So the attitudes there were really to see animals as utilitarian, just as we have always had here and still do in many more rural parts of the world. So these women were really outliers in the way they saw animals. They believed in a no-kill shelter. But they went beyond that. They went into some really dangerous housing projects. They went on undercover missions. And Marion did something that most Irish, settled Irish people don't do, which was she worked with the Irish travelers and their animals. They were basically, people would call them gypsies, and went into their camps, which most settled people thought were terribly dangerous. They thought she was crazy. So she'd been in gunfire and in some real hairy situations. But for her, there was really no limit to what she would do to help animals.
And you talk about the animals, but also helping people as well. Those people living at the margins, she was helping them as well.
That's exactly it. Her whole, you know, if there are people born for a purpose, hers was to really have this enormous compassion for the voiceless at the margins, whether it's humans or animals. The Irish travelers had a whole economy built very much on dogs and horses, and that economy really died with modernity, but they still breed them and have them in their camps. They're very important to them. And so Marion figured if she was going to help animals, she'd have to go where they were. And really, it was the same thing with going into housing projects. Where people are suffering, animals are suffering. So when she was at this she got involved with one particular family, the McCarthys, and she wound up getting so upset at seeing what they had to go through, the way they were pushed around, you know, from one campsite to the next, that she took their cause on and brought it to the High Court of Ireland. And they won a piece of, the judge required the County of Limerick to give them a piece of settled land and some basic facilities. It was a really amazing thing.
The other thing, in writing about Marion's story, you tell a story in the book about when she's a very, very young girl of noticing a horse in distress. And really, this is the start of that activism.
It is. You know, because I'm not a born animal person, the question I kept asking, which is what most of us do, is why animals when there are so many people and children suffering? And I had been involved even working in an organization that helped children, and I really was resistant. So So I would ask all of them, why animals? And they would just say, oh, so many people said the exact same thing, which was, I was born this way. And Marion would tell me this story about how when she was only 6 years old, she was in the car with her family, which at that time in Ireland was very unusual. Few people had cars. And it was pouring rain, as it does in Ireland. And she looked out of the car and saw a horse with a big load carrying a truck, a cart of some kind. And it was very clear that this animal was miserable and suffering in the rain. And she has almost an out-of-body experience where she feels what the horse is going through. And she starts to scream and cry, asking her parents to do something, give her an umbrella so that she can, you know, hold it over the animal. It's a six-year-old talking. And they think she's crazy. And she realizes at that moment that she's just different from everybody else.
Well, the book is fascinating. It is entitled The Dogs of Avalon, The Race to Save Animals in Peril. It is published by Norton. Laura Chanone, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure.
Great talking
to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, the name of the book, The Dogs of Avalon. It's published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.